All right. So we're going to continue. Hi, Troy. We're going to continue our Why Not series today as we just begin to explore our theme for the year, that whole concept of why not, why can't this be the best year of your life up until this point. We're not suggesting that this is going to be the greatest year of your life and then after that it's kind of all downhill, that we peak out and we're done and dusted. But this would be the stepping stone to onwards and upwards. And Phil's done a great job the last 2 weeks of really launching this. So if you've missed one of those two messages, make sure you jump on the website. That'll be up there during the next week or so and you'll be able to grab those and kind of catch up. But we really believe that this year is going to be a really a year of significance in the life of this church and in your life. And we're not just saying that with blind optimism and faith, but we really genuinely feel that that's God's calling upon us as a church and as the people who attend Compass Church for this year. I know I quite happily will have a why not year. I've had a few oh my goodness years, so I'm ready for a why not year. We're going to explore the whole concept of why not with our job today. So in our field of whatever we do, why not? Why can't this be the best year that we've had up until this point? So we're going to just look at that. Why not with our work? I've worked since I was 11. I've never not had a job. I've normally had two or three. That's just the way I am. I am very much a believer for my own personal life of those scriptures in Proverbs that talk about idle hands being a very, very dangerous thing in the devil's playground. And for me, that's me. If I'm busy, I stay out of trouble. If I'm not busy, then I just need to be busy. Let's just say that. And so I've always worked, and I've always worked a lot, and always been quite comfortable with that. I did paper rounds, and I did delivering pamphlets and delivering stuff for pharmacies, and then I worked at Hungry Jack's for a while, and then I worked at a golf course, and I worked in a bar, and I've done everything and anything that they would pay me to do, I would do. I didn't have very high standards. I just had a good work ethic. I dug re-stumped houses. That's honestly, if you re-stump houses, that's one of the worst jobs of all time. You've got to crawl under the house with little shovels on your hand and dig out the post holes and then drag through the stumps and set them. That's not a great job. I did that for a while. I landscaped, I did youth work, and now I've got my own business, a gym. And I would just say that God calls us to work. I think before we start, we need to make it really, really clear that God wants us to work. And I've heard before Christians talk about the fact that we have to work because of sin, that in Genesis 3:17-19, it says, to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit from the tree in which I commanded you not to, from this point on, you will be cursed. Clearly, that's not the message, that you shouldn't listen to your wife. It's that you shouldn't do what God doesn't want you to. I'm just clarifying. Who knows that if you don't listen to your wife, you'll be cursed? Are we all on board with that? Not by God, just by her. Isn't that the 11th commandment? Happy wife, happy life. Genesis 3... I'm not getting anywhere fast, am I? Genesis 3:17-19 says, to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate the tree in which I commanded you not to, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants that come from the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground. And sometimes I think people, and Christians especially, misunderstand that scripture, and they think that we were created just to walk through the Garden of Eden, happy, happy, joy, joy, with God in perfect harmony, not actually working. But that's not God's plan. In Genesis 2:15, this is before Adam has sinned. This is when they're in perfect harmony. God's just created them in the garden. He says to them, the Lord took the man and put him in the garden to work it and take care of it. So God's plan for our life is to work. God's plan for us is to work and work hard and be diligent at what we do, serve God in what we do. I would quite happily work in the pre-Adam sinning thing where it was just lusciously strolling through the gardens, just tending to the gardens, but that's not the case. We all are now in the post-Adam sinning kind of era, which is we work and it's toil and it's hard and it's not always easy, and sometimes it's sweaty and sometimes it's not comfortable and sometimes it doesn't feel ideal, but that's just the way it is. So we're all on the same page there. We're all called to work in whatever capacity that is. For some of us, it's sitting in an office. For some of us, it's standing around in our shorts and t-shirt yelling at people. For other people, it's doing jobs of like a real job. Like my dad, I think he's still waiting for me to get a real job, not just doing the exercise thing. But we're all created to work. And can I just say right from the start, if your main job is a mum, then more power to you. It just breaks my heart sometimes when I talk to people and I'm speaking to people at the gym and they go, I might do a few, bits and pieces, but I'm a mum, or I'm just at home. Like, that is an incredibly, incredibly important job. There is not a job of more significance on this earth than being a mum. And if that's you, be loud and proud about it. Because, like God clearly says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not turn from it. Now, that's an important job. What job can you find that's more important in raising a child in the ways of God? You are the pastor of that child. That's an incredibly important responsibility and an incredibly important job. It's not a job of insignificance. God places great significance on that job. Like, if you look at it this way, that we would believe that our kids are the sons and daughters of God, you are the parent, you're the mum of the creator of the universe's son or daughter. That's really significant. So if that's you, I just want to say well done, more power to you. Never ever think anything other than you have a really, really incredibly important job, and I thank you for it. If it wasn't for my mum's an amazing woman, had a great impact on my life, and I was so grateful for all that she still does for me. So, which is a lot. So why can't this year be the most successful year that you've had up to date? And the answer, I think, is largely pretty simple. Because of you and me. I think the fact that God doesn't change, that he remains the same, that his promises remain the same, his resources remain unlimited. If we want this year to be different, then we need to be different. And yes, I understand that God has unlimited power, that he can just do whatever he wants. And I understand that there is the sovereignty of God, those times that God moves and we can't explain it. But if we want things to change, then we need to change. If we just keep doing the same thing and just kind of sitting and hoping that God's going to do something at some point, I don't really think that's largely how God operates. I think God looks to reward faithfulness. He looks to reward diligence. He looks for people who are making an effort in his strength, and then he intercedes and does a great job. So if we want to see change, if we want to see growth, if we want to see increase, we need to look at ourselves before we look anywhere else. That's popular, isn't it? So we need to clarify that we're not just talking about making more money. When we're talking about being successful at work, it's not just about money. So we're going to look at the why not areas of our finance next week. And clearly work is about money. I don't know about you, I like what I do, but if I didn't get paid, I wouldn't turn up. I'd go and find something else that paid me. So clearly it's about money. It's about meeting practical needs, and it's about providing for our families. And yes, it is about money, but it can't be about money, if that makes sense, because success isn't determined by money. So why can't this be the year of you finding great purpose in your job? Maybe it's finding the job that you dream of. Why not make this the most successful year you've ever had in terms of maybe it's just you meeting your KPIs more so than you ever have before. Maybe this is the year where you pray and God gives you strategies so you can go to your boss and go, hey, I had this great idea. Maybe God will give you wisdom in meetings so that you can come up with the solution to the problem. Maybe as you just ask God to come into your job, he will bring you honor if you honor him. Why can't this be the year where you really truly begin to understand the plan that God has for you in that place? In terms of right now, in your workplace, you could be the only or maybe the key influence for who God is and how he feels about people. So when we look at that whole idea of why not in our workplace today, we're not just looking at money. We're looking at it a lot more holistically. It's about our character. It's about our response to situations and circumstances, how we go about it. And I really think that gets God's attention in terms of blessing us in our work. So you all know that God goes to work with you, right? You're all good with that. You know that God's already at your work. He's sitting at your desk right now, just looking at your emails, checking through your internet history. Oh, that's a bit awkward. Forgot to delete it before I went home. And that if you've accepted Christ, God lives in your heart. So everywhere you go, you take him. But he's already there anyway, but you're taking him as well. James 4:5 says, "Do you think the scriptures say without reason that the spirit he causes to live in you envies us intensely?" So I just want you to take out of that that God's spirit lives in us. Okay, so we are the body, the vessel that God's spirit lives in. I had a really cool experience yesterday. I was cruising around with Jessie, my little girl who's 4. She just turned 4 and she will happily tell you all about it. And we were just cruising around and we were just having fun. We were being idiots in the car. We play this thing called Crazy Time where we wind all the windows down so that the breeze is going everywhere. And we just yell for as loud as we can for as long as we can. So we were playing Crazy Time and it lasted for about 20 minutes. And as we were playing Crazy Time, I was just praying like, God, I just want to have more conversations of significance with Jessie in the coming years. Like I want her to really, and my prayer for her is that she will grow up knowing that God loves her and that she is loved by God and she can do all things through God. And I really believe that if she can understand who she is in God, then she'll go a long way to fulfilling her call and purpose in life. And so I was just praying that as I'm going, while the wind's blowing and stuff. And then Jessie stops going Crazy Time. She goes, "That's enough, Dad, stop now." And I'm like, okay. And we had the sunroof open and Jessie goes, "Oh, look, Dad, there's a rhinoceros in the sky." And I'm driving and I go, "Yep." And she goes, "You're not looking." I go, "I can't look." So we're having this discussion. And then she goes, "Dad, what's above the sky?" And I go, "Oh, space." She goes, "What's above space?" I go, "I don't know, heaven." And she goes, "That's where God lives." And I go, "Yeah, yeah." So we're just talking about, and we started talking about God and who God is and how he loves us and how, you know, we can talk to him and he can bring us peace. And I'm kind of explaining and giving it like the gospel message. And I say, like, God can live in our hearts. And she said, "Well, how does that happen?" And I said, "Well, we pray this prayer and we ask God into our hearts." And she said, "Can you teach me how to pray it?" So we're driving along the Nepean Highway and I got to pray like the salvation prayer with my 4-year-old, which was just a spectacular occurrence in my life that she prayed that prayer. And then we talked about it a little bit more, the fact that God's living inside her. And then she came up with some of those really profound questions that kids ask. She said, "God, if God's living in my heart, will he eat the food in my tummy when he gets hungry?" And I had to clarify that God's so amazing that he never gets hungry. And she said, "That's good because it's only a little tummy." But God lives within us. He goes everywhere with us. He's all-seeing, he's all-knowing, he is a part of you and everything that you do, including your work. Everywhere your foot goes, Christ is already there, but you are bringing Christ with you. So that can either make us incredibly uncomfortable, depending on our attitudes and behaviours, or incredibly reassuring. I've had an interesting few years when it comes to work. I've never been scared to work hard or for a long time, and I've always had jobs and stuff. But I bought into a personal training studio about 4 years ago. And independent to that, right at that same time, basically once I'd signed the papers and stuff, half of our staff had been setting a little coup up. And in that transitional phase of me buying in, they all left and took half of our clients and half of our money. And so this business went from going quite well to losing thousands of dollars every week. And I went from going, "Cool, I'm on the cash cow," to, "Oh my goodness, what's happening here?" And then the GFC hit and us being a bit of a luxury industry and charging way too much to do way too little. Hang on. It's just my opinion. Just my opinion. We took a fairly big hit, and it's fair to say that the last few years have been a massive challenge. So much so that for me, who for whatever reason pretty much thought I was invincible, found out that I probably wasn't. I'm not saying definitely, just probably. The whole experience pretty much broke me down piece by piece systematically. And I just worked harder and harder. That was my solution. I just kept working harder. I kept working longer. I kept thinking about it more. I kept stressing about it more. I didn't work smarter, just harder. And I just became so immersed in the challenges that our business was facing that I really didn't see anything else. I became stressed. I was depressed. I was frustrated. I was scared. I was anxious. I was angry. Anything that's a negative emotion was me. Any of the good stuff I left behind for a while. And I just took the weight of the world upon my shoulders. And I certainly wasn't being the person that God called me to be. I wasn't being an amazing dad. I wasn't being an amazing husband. Just ask Holly. She'll happily confirm this story. When I was anywhere else, when I was at work or when I was anywhere else apart from like my very select close group of friends, everyone went, oh yeah, and I was like, ba-da, ba-da, things are great, woo, praise the Lord. And inside I was going, oh my goodness, I think I'm going to die. And like it was, you know, I was waking up like 10 times a night with like these incredible anxiety attacks, like just waking up feeling like someone had shoved like an adrenaline needle into my heart and my heart was beating out of control and I'd get up and throw up and then go back to bed and then get up 45 minutes later and do the whole thing again. And my body was really angry at me and I had all these bizarre allergic kind of reactions that happen when your adrenal system's out of control, and my hands would peel and my feet would peel, and you know, I'd just go, oh, I don't know what happened on the weekend. I must have touched something weird because all my skin was falling off. And I was kind of losing the plot completely. And I was really conflicted as well, because I knew as someone who loved God that I wasn't meant to feel this way. I knew that, you know, that whole idea of we're meant to live in the promises and the blessings of God. And, you know, like I got that, but I didn't feel that way. I knew it, but I didn't know it in here, if you're on board with me. And I was kind of feeling like a bit of like a victim, a bit like the world had dealt me a bum hand, and going, God, why have you forsaken me? This is the worst thing in the world. And who knows, when you get to that kind of place, you have no perspective. The fact that I had healthy kids, the fact that I had a wife that loved me despite the fact that I was acting like a jack, the fact that, you know, like pretty much apart from this one little area of my life, everything was going pretty well. I was so consumed by that that I thought the whole world was caving in. And I got to a pretty dark place, and I kind of got to that place where finally I went, all right, God, I'm ready to stop trying so hard and maybe let you have a turn. And which people might have been suggesting to me for the 12 months beforehand, but what would they know? And so in Genesis 28, this was the scripture that kind of changed everything for me. In Genesis 28, we see Jacob and he's coming back home, and he's had a massive falling out with his brother to the point where his brother was going to kill him, so he went away for a while. He's on his return, and he doesn't know what's going to happen. He thinks his brother still wants to kill him, so he's coming back to try and make peace, but knowing that in doing that, he might get killed at the same time. So he's coming back, and he gets not far away from his brother, like a day away, and he's freaking out still, and he's stressed, and he goes to sleep, and he has this dream, and in the dream, he sees a ladder. And there's heaven and then there's the earth and it's like a stairway, and he watches the angels go up and down and interact between heaven and earth and heaven and earth and earth and heaven. And he wakes up and he says, surely the Lord was in this place and I was unaware. And I went, oh my goodness, that's my life. God never left. God was standing right beside me the whole time, but I didn't look at him. I was so immersed in the problems. I was so immersed in my challenges. I completely forgot the creator of the universe was standing just there. And I'd just been ignoring him the whole time. And so when I realized that and realized that I never actually really invited God into my workplace, like said to him, God, come, I need your help. I want you to be involved. Not, you know, and genuinely meant it. And when I handed it over to him and went, God, I'm going to, because if we do that and we hand it over to him, it means we don't stress about it. Because why would we stress about it if God's in control? So that's like easy to say and hard to do, right? So I do that, I hand it over, God's there in the midst of my chaos and my challenges and my confusions and my being an idiot, and I was so focused on those problems and the reasons why it was so hard and so stressed about the daily things, I just forgot that God's resources are completely unlimited and his power is limitless. And I just found incredible freedom in that fact that God is there with us. Whether we want him to be or not, he is there with us. Whether we're aware of it or not, he is there with us. And so if maybe for some of you, you are like me, you need to stop focusing on the challenges in your workplace and the stresses and things, and remember that God's standing right there beside you. Because that's incredibly reassuring. You'll find great peace and freedom in that fact. When we operate in God's strength, we are so much more productive. When we're inviting Him into our workplaces, we can start to tap into His unlimited resources and wisdom. So maybe some of you, in having a why not year in your workplace, the start of that will be inviting God into your workplace for the first time ever, or consciously doing it daily, asking Him to bring His resources, to bring His wisdom, to bring His knowledge, all of that stuff into your workplace. Start praying that God will give you solutions and strategies for your job, that you'll be able to go to your boss with ideas to save money, to cut costs, to increase revenue, that you will become of great value, that God will give you solutions to problems, new strategies, a fresh way of approaching things. Because if you would like this to be a why not year in terms of maybe receiving more financially from your workplace, the question you need to ask yourself is, why should you be paid more? Because you're not owed anything other than your agreed salary. So when you go into a job contract, they go, this is how much you get paid and this is the list of jobs you need to do. And you go, yep, okay, it's a deal. So that's kind of the agreement that you have. So if you want to get paid more, if you want to be of increased value, then you need to first be of increased value to your company. So if you're going, God, I really need a breakthrough in my workplace, then the prayer isn't, God, let them give me more money. The prayer is, God, how can I be of greater value? And I trust that as I do that, you will bring that blessing, that you will bring honor to me, that you will get my boss's attention and he will realize that I am of greater value. And I'm not just talking about working more hours. I'm talking about taking God in his infinite wisdom and intelligence and ability into your workplace with you. I'm talking about being diligent with the small things that you have right now so God will bless you with greater things and reward you with larger things. For Luke 6:10 calls us to be faithful in the little that we have. Some of us need to look at our attitude, maybe. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge in the grave where you will go. So clearly, for me, it says, now is the time for work. While we're alive on this earth, now is the time for work. And not just work, but to work hard. Whatever you find to do, do it with all your might so that you would bring honor to God. So not only are we called to work, we're called to work hard. Paul, the guy who wrote so much of the New Testament, who started so much of the church, he still worked as a tent maker so that he had provision. So he would travel around and he would preach and he would disciple churches and then he'd build some tents. He was an incredibly hard worker. When I was about 19 or 20, I started landscaping and I knew these three boys that ran a big landscaping company. And I went to them and I said, hey, what's the chances of having a job? And Paul knows these guys. They're incredibly good guys. They've done incredibly well for themselves, but they're very generous. They're very faithful. And they know that they have what they have because of God's blessing. And they said to me, you got a church, right? And I said, yep. And they went, no, you don't get a job. And I went, what? And they go, well, everyone else that we've hired through the churches that we're a part of haven't been very hard workers. They've kind of felt because they're a Christian and I'm a Christian, maybe, you know, I should get an easy ride. Maybe I should get looked after a little bit more. And I went, that is incredibly sad. Because surely as Christians, we should be the opposite. So I said to them, well, I won't be a Christian while I'm at work. And they said, okay, no worries. No. But I had to almost beg them to give me a job despite the fact that I was a Christian. And I'll never forget that. And I always will say that we should stand out because of our diligence. We should stand out because of our integrity. We should stand out because we're hard workers. We're not just yes men. We're not doormats. We don't just let people walk over us, but we're diligent and we operate with integrity and we're hard workers and we're honest and we do what we're called to do in that place to the best of our ability, not sometimes when it suits us, but all the time, because that's what Christ calls us to do. It's a matter of integrity. Do you go to work with integrity? I had a fresh perspective on this over the last few years when I went from just being a really good employee to an employer. and realised that the money that I had in my bank account, I was then paying to other people to do a job. And that changes your perspective on things. You have a different expectation. When you go, I could give them the money to do a job not very well, or I could just keep it myself, that changes things. So I used to get really frustrated when I'd walk into the office and we had our reception admin kind of girl sitting there and she'd be on Facebook. I'm not paying her to catch up with her friends. I don't care. She can do that in her own time. I'm not paying her to do personal emails. If there's work to be done, there's work to be done. And for me, I go, how can you? That's like stealing from me. I'm paying you to do nothing. And I'm not a tyrant. I just think I'm fair. If you're at work and you're being paid to do a job, then do the job. For me, it's that simple. I don't have that problem now because I've got Jemima there. And she's amazing. Can I just talk Jemima up for 1 second? She'll hate this. But if you want this to be a why not year in your work, then you need to examine yourself and your work and you decide if you're going to operate with great integrity, with diligence and with hard work. Because I believe that God will bring blessing and that he will recognise that. And it might not happen straight away, but there's seasons for sowing and seasons for reaping. And I'm not saying that every boss is fair and just and right, but I know God is. So I know that at some point he will bring you reward for your faithfulness, whether you feel like it's coming in the next 3 minutes or whether it happens in a few years. Now, Jemima's awesome. She's been an incredible blessing to me at the gym. And she's been an incredible witness for the way she goes about her work. So at my work, there's no one else there that goes, well, Jemima, of course, but there's no one else there that goes to church. No one else is a Christian. It's just me and 20 meatheads and all of our clients and, no, they're not all meatheads. Some of them are. Doesn't really matter. But, and Phil, of course, Pastor Phil. But really, bit of a meathead. But a Christian meathead. No. Sometimes stuff just comes out. I think it, and sometimes I can stop it, and other times it just happens. And even after I've said it, my brain's still catching up, going, oh, no, don't say that. Oh, it's already out there. Love you, Phil.
So back to talking
Jemima, right. So Jemima has been an incredible witness at work purely for the fact that she goes about her work with great diligence. The job she does at work, it's not glamorous, it's answering the phones, it's selling some drinks, it's talking to clients, it's cleaning up a bit. It's not complicated, but she has been by far the best person in 3 or 4 years that we've ever had do that because she goes about it with diligence and she goes about it with a smile. And I'll tell you what, people notice. The amount of people, clients that I've had come up to me and go, that girl that you've got working in the office, Jemima, she's the best person you've ever had in that job. I go, I'm well aware. She is. She's fantastic. Trainers that come up to me and go, how good's Jemima? I go, really good. But she has been an incredible witness, not just for her, but for Christ, because of the way she goes about her work. Now, the job at the gym, I'm hoping it is her calling for the rest of her life, but I'm tipping vacuuming the floors on a Saturday afternoon and selling Gatorades isn't all that God has for her. But right now, in the place that she's at, that's the job that she's got. And you know what she's doing? She's honouring God by working the way that she works. And she's being an incredible blessing to me as a boss. And I know God will reward her for that. And I'll reward her for that, obviously, of course. Fingers crossed. But she's been an incredible witness. And so if you want a why not year in your work, if you want, then I believe you need to have that kind of an attitude. And you need to approach your work with that kind of diligence. Start looking at your workplace not just as the place that you stumbled upon that happens to pay your wage, but start looking at it as the place that God has hand-placed you right now in this minute. That there is a reason for the fact that you are there. That this is part of God's plan for your life in the here and now. Sometimes we get so stuck on trying to figure out what the will of God is for our life. Just relax. I'll tell you what the will of God is for your life. Wherever you are right now, that's the will of God. If it's not, he'll make it really, really clear. It's not complicated. So stop trying to figure out how it's all meant to work. That's why it's called God's will, not yours. If it was your will, we'd all just sit on our couch and drink Coke and watch sport. Well, that's my will. If I was in charge, that's what we'd all do. But God knows the plan. He will reveal... You boys coming to work for me at my will? He will reveal the different bits along the way as you need to know them. So we need to trust that right now you're in God's will until he makes it clear that you're not. 1 Corinthians 7:17 says, Mugyadi, can you come and say this word for me?
Nevertheless.
Thank you. You can sit down now. Each person should live as a believer in what situation, whatever situation the Lord has assigned for him, just as God has called him. So wherever you are right now, do it. And do it with all your diligence until God clearly tells you to go and do it somewhere else. God's given you that job for a reason. And maybe there's people here that you need to hear that from God. Relax. You're in my will. Do it, and do it with all your might, and I will honour you as you honour me. And maybe this is the place that God's going to bring you incredible success. Maybe this is the place where you're going to learn a set of skills that you need for your dream job 10 years later. Maybe you're going to go through a set of situations and circumstances in the job that you're in that you're going to need around the corner. We don't know that. Only God knows. It's not my calling in life to tell fat blokes to do push-ups. That's not my calling in life. But right now, in this place, that's where God's got me. That's my will. So I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it with all of my might. And I'm going to serve God in there, and I'm going to honour God in that place. It's not the end destination for me. It's the here and now. And you know what? If you're really unhappy with what you're doing, if you're treated horribly, if you feel like it's always unfair, if you're always complaining about your boss or your work or your co-workers, and that's not honouring them, by the way. As a side note, there's this interesting thing that commentators of the Bible talk about between the relationship between slaves and their masters that apply to us today. And it says really clearly in Ephesians 6:9, slaves, obey your earthly master with respect and fear and sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. So that's how we're meant to view our bosses. Jemima, that's how you're meant to view your boss. But that's how we're meant to view our bosses, with respect. We're meant to honour them. It doesn't mean that they'll always honour us, but it's about our heart attitude. And if you want it to be a why not year in your workplace, then maybe that's something for you that you need to address. But if you can't do that, if you don't feel like you can honour your boss, if they treat you horribly, if you really hate what you do, do two things. Put your resume together and go and find a new job, or shut up about it and just honour God in the place that you are. They're your two choices. It's really simple. It's not meant to be complicated. Do something about it or just honour God. It's that simple. Ecclesiastes 3:2 says there's a time to plant and a time to harvest. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So for those of you who have been serving diligently, who have been sowing faithfully, who feel like they've been doing the hard work, who have operated with integrity, who have honoured their bosses, respected their bosses, who have been great blessings as employees, for those of you who run your own companies and you've been faithful in God and you've been operating with integrity and you've been inviting God into your place and it feels like it's really hard and sometimes it doesn't feel like you're getting the reward, it's okay, because God says we have a season for sowing and we have a season for harvesting. God says don't grow weary of doing good, because at the proper time, which is God's time, not our time, at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And for me this year, I'm holding tight to that scripture in my business, that there's a season for sowing, and I'm hoping that that season's almost come to a conclusion. That's what I'm doing this for. God, I'd like to finish sowing. I'd like to start a bit more harvesting. That would be fantastic. But I just trust that in God's time, that will happen. So I was just praying specifically for some stuff about my business at the start of this year. I had a little bit of space and some time, and I was just God really challenged me to pray specifically. So I was praying that God would bless my business, and I was praying that, you know, He'd bring more financial success, and that, you know, I'd be able to, you know, make a bit more money and da-da-da-da-da and have a bit less stress and all of that kind of stuff. Which, by the way, there's nothing wrong with making more money. That's okay. I'm pretty good with that concept. But the question is, why do you want to make more money? Do you just want to make more money so your life is more comfortable and you can buy more things? Or do you want to make some more money so you can do something with it? So I was just praying about some specific things. And God said, I was praying for some general things, and God said, start praying for specific things. And so I just started, you know, kind of listing out exactly what I would like to see over the course of this year, and just started to speak it into being, and some strategic stuff and some financial stuff and some structural stuff. And I really felt God say, as I was doing that, then that He has given me all that I need to achieve those things. I just need to be diligent with it, and God will bring those things to fruition. And I want to encourage you guys with that, that God says that He has given us all that we need when we do it in His strength. That when we just continue to be faithful, and we continue to work, and we continue to sow, and we continue to operate with diligence and with integrity and serve God, then He will do the rest. And that's the beautiful thing about having faith in Christ, is that at the end of the day, we should be able to rest assured that He is in control. Pastor Yongyi Cho, who runs one of the biggest church movements in the world with millions of people in it, I read an interview with him one day, and so he's kind of pastorally responsible for, you know, half of Australia equivalently in terms of numbers. He has these massive church movements that do incredible things. And he said, someone said to him, how do you sleep at night knowing that's kind of all that you are in charge of and responsible for? And he said, every night I go to my bed and I put my head on the pillow and I say, God, it's your church, they're your people, it's your problem, good night, and goes to sleep. I go, how incredible is that? That is the attitude that we should have. That we just hand it to God and we trust that He's in control. So I'm going to work as hard as possible this year. I'm going to be as diligent as I need to be, but I'm going to rest assured in the fact that if I do that, God is in control. If I give it to God, that He will take care of the rest. It might not look exactly the way I think it's going to, but I trust that in the proper time, He will bring a harvest, and it will be the harvest that I need. Not the harvest I want necessarily, but the harvest that He sees is fit for me and fit for that season in my life. I'm certainly not going to be just sitting on my hands praying, because God doesn't call us to do that either. Doesn't call me to sit on the couch at work and just pray for new clients. Just will the money in the door. God, I'm just fasting that money just flow in that door. No people, just money, because that makes it easier. It's going to have a big sack, God, and when I open my eyes, it's going to be full. I'm just going to go to the Bahamas. Put my feet up. But I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, but I'm going to work my butt off. But I'm going to do it in God's strength, not in my strength. So this is my last random thought for the day. What about our work for God? Our service to the church, His church. That we should do that with diligence. That we should do that with faithfulness, with vigor, with enthusiasm. So remember, God's looking at our heart. So He doesn't give us a gold star just for showing up. He's not even really that interested in that. He's more interested in our heart attitude. He's more interested with our motivations. He's interested to see whether we come to be served or to serve. And I would like to think that since the beginning of Compass Church, for those of you who have been around for quite a long time, that Phil and myself and the rest of our leadership team have really demonstrated that servant-hearted leadership, that we would be the first people to get in and help set up and pack up and do whatever's required, that no job is too big nor small. And we really have a philosophy that we will never do anything, ask anyone else to do anything that we're not prepared to do ourselves. And that's the way that the church should be. If you see a need, fill it. I'm astounded at the gym at the number of, like, and sometimes I'll do a test and I'll leave something, like a bit of paper on the floor. And I'll watch my trainers all day walk past it with, and they all see it and they go, not my problem. And they just keep walking. And then Jemima comes along and goes, what's that in the distance? It's some paper, and goes and picks it up. Because it's her attitude that's different. So I would encourage you guys, if you are going to be part of Compass Church, we want to be a church that sees needs and fills it. We would love to have you guys come to us and go, what can I do to help? Rather than us come to you and go, please, can you help? Because it's about the heart attitude. You, Mulyadi. You know, we have a whole bunch of needs in this church from a practical perspective. You know that Compass Church only employs 3 people and none of them full-time. So everything else is done by volunteers. And the people who are paid do well more than what they're paid to do. So if you guys are coming to Compass, I would encourage you, be a part of it. Help out. If you're here for the first time, if this is your very first day, I apologize. This isn't about you. This is about the person sitting next to you. And at Compass, we want to help people figure out what their calling in life is. And like Jemima said, you know, like, we want to help you guys figure out what your gifting is, what you're talented at, what God's created you to do. But I don't think anyone's sole gift in life is to press the words on the screen on the computer. If that's you, fantastic. I will release you in that bad boy every single week. But the people that do that don't do that because they go, man, I am called to be on computer. They do it because there's a need and they fill it. And we have needs in every area of our church, in our setup pack-up team. Glenn, I'm just going to honour Glenn. Glenn is a flipping gun. He is truly an awesome guy. He's a legendary bloke anyway, but he serves with such diligence and with such a great attitude. Who really wants to get out really early on a Sunday morning, get here before anyone else does, and lug sound equipment? No one. Glenn does it. I mean, we've got a whole bunch of people that do it. Erwan does it almost every single week. These guys who set up with great faithfulness, not because they feel called to set up a church. That's not their calling in life. That's not what God created them to be. When God went, what's Glenn going to do for the rest of his life? Pick up fold-back speakers. That's his lot in life. But he does it because he serves with great diligence and great passion. He sees a need and he runs with it and he fills it. And that's the attitude that God has. This is God's house. God's house. And if you say if you say that you are passionate about God and you are passionate about being a follower of Christ and becoming more like Christ, I'll tell you how you can really progress that journey this year. You can take that attitude that Jesus had when he came and he said, I came to serve, not to be served. I should pass a clipboard around now, shouldn't I? Sign everyone up. But I won't, because I'll expect that you guys will come to us and say, how can I help? Why not make this the year that you serve the house of God with diligence and passion? That you show up. We need people on our hospitality teams, on our music teams. We need new speakers. Not those speakers, these ones. We need people in kids, in grommets, in our community care stuff. There's not one area of our church right now that if you came to me and said, I'd like to help out with set up, I'd go, sorry, we're full. There's no room. It was in such high demand because Glenn runs it. We can't fit you in, but I'll put you on the waiting list. In about 12 months, you can roll a cable. No one, not one area. If you want to grow in God this year, serve. Serve him. And I know we're all busy. I get that. I get we're busy. I get we have things on. I understand that. I'm busy too. I'm at work 60 to 70 hours a week. Everything I do for the church is voluntary. I've got 2 little kids and I say none of that stuff to pump myself up. I should, but I don't. Because I'm incredibly, incredibly humble. But I say it because I understand. I understand we're busy. I understand that we have commitments. And we don't want to be a church that's so busy that everybody is just too busy in church to do anything in the world. We're not going to be that church and we never will. We don't want you to be on four things every single week, but maybe be on something every fourth week. If you are coming to this church regularly and you're not doing anything, I would say you are spectating, not participating. And that's not what we're about. So thank you, Glenn. So if I was to summarise the last 30 minutes into one paragraph, and I know some of you would argue, why didn't I just do that at the start? We could have all been home by now. But you wouldn't have got my comedic gold. Why not believe this year will be the best year you have ever had in your workplace? Why not invite God daily into your workplace? Why not work hard in God's strength like you were working for God himself, which you are, by the way, and trust that he will take care of the rest? Why not believe that God has a plan and a purpose for you where you are and continue to pray that he will reveal that to you as you need to see it? Why not believe that God rewards diligence and integrity even when it feels like man doesn't? And ultimately, why not, if we give him the freedom in our life, that he will be in control and he desires good things for us? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord God, that you are faithful God. I pray, Lord God, that the words that we heard today, those scriptural that we read, Lord God, would just become real to us. I pray, Lord God, that, and I just really, really sense, Lord, that as we take up that calling and as we do our bit and as we are responsible and as diligent and as purposeful as we can be, then you will take care of the rest. So for every business owner here, I pray a great blessing upon them this year, Lord God. Yes, financially, but with strategy and staff, Lord God, with structure, Lord Jesus, with new ideas. For every employee here, Lord God, I pray that you would bless them, Lord God, that as they operate with diligence, Lord God, as they operate with integrity, as they work hard, Lord God, that you, Lord God, would bless them, that you would give them ideas for their company, that you would help them invent new things, create new ways of doing things, Lord God. Lord God, that you would help us be wise with our time. Lord God, and as we honour you, as we serve you, Lord God, as we take that attitude into our workplace, Lord God, that Ephesians 6:9 attitude, Lord God, that we would go about our job with respect and a sincerity of heart, just as we would if we were serving you itself in that, Lord God, that you will bring faithfulness back to us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. That's it. I'm done. No. So next week, Phil's going to be continuing our series, and he's going to be looking at why not in the area of our finance. And I'm sure, and I know that he's got some really kind of really key things that he believes that God's spoken to him about for us as a church this year and for us as individuals this year. If you would like to come and help out Compass in some way that you would like to serve, you can come and see myself or Jemima or Colin and Lester, any of the team. To those of you that do serve in the life of the church, can I just say thank you? Thank you on behalf of our leadership team. Thank you on behalf of Compass. Thank you on behalf of God. We, and I don't say that lightly, we really appreciate all that you do and the way that you go about doing it. One of the great bits of feedback that we have about this church is just the great vibe that we have, the way that people go about getting stuff done. To our hospitality team, you are overly hospitable and people really, really appreciate that. So we'll go. Have a great week. Grab a coffee. Hang out. We'll be back here next week. We have Vision Sunday coming up on the 19th. So make sure you're praying about your goals and the things that you are going to be believing for, those specific things. And anything else, Jemima? Shh, hang on. So, yeah, that's it. We just want to extend Mooyarty, our condolences. Mooyarty's Graham passed away. And so, mate, we're praying for you and praying for your family and stuff and thinking of you. And Lynn and Calvin McDonald as well. Lynn's dad passed away. So just keep them in your prayers this week. And maybe practically you can think of a way that you could bless them, make them a meal or go and do something for them or whatever. So just let them know that you're praying and thinking about them. All right, guys, have a great week. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. I haven't finished. I found another page of notes. No, I'm just kidding. If you have a child, if you have a child in Compass Kids, then if you can hang back. Now, Holly's going to be out in just a couple of minutes and she just wants to chat to you guys. So if you've got a primary school age child, if you could hang around, she will be here in just 1 minute.